2 Kings 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the hosts of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord hath given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. And everybody say those last five words. But he was a leper. Everybody say, but he was a leper. 2 Kings 5, going down to verse 9, it says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan seven times. Remember that Naaman was a leper. And he goes to the man of God, Elisha, and Elisha says, go and wash in the Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and he would strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I thought Elisha would do something greater than that. I thought he would come, but he sent a servant. Go down to verse 12. It says, are not Abana and Pharpha, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Surely there is a better river than the Jordan. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and he went in a rage. And his servants came near, and they spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had asked you to do something great, some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? It's so simple. Then he went down, and he dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, speak to each person specifically, Lord God. Lord, one word from you can speak in many different depths in our lives. Lord, to our guests that are here today, to those that have been walking with you for many years, Lord God, speak to us in a very special way, and let our ears and our heart be receptive. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach today on this simple title, Muddy Water. Everybody say, Muddy Water. You may be seated. Muddy Water. This man, Naaman, was a great man. Captain. He was honorable. And he had won battles for Syria. He was a great man. But verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 5 tells us, with all of his greatness, with all of his wonderful accomplishments, Naaman was still a leper. And he came to the man of God, Elisha, and he went to Elisha, obviously seeking some sort of solution for his leprosy. And the man of God sent a messenger. And the messenger came out and said, Elisha is telling you to go and wash in the Jordan River seven times. And if you shall do that, you will be made clean. But Naaman was angry. I can imagine as the servant came to him, he said, do they know who I am? Sister Lois, he would have been thinking, does Elisha know exactly who I am? Why would he send a servant, Brother Gabriel, and not come himself? I'm an important guy. I am a captain. And so he was angry and walked away, I imagine, stormed off down the street. I don't want anything to do with that. It just seems, it just didn't seem right to me. His servants came and said, Elisha, you know, if the prophet had asked you to do some great thing, some elaborate sort of ritual, you would have done it. But all he's asking you to do today, Naaman, all he's asking is just to wash and be clean. Just to wash and be clean. Just simply to dip seven times into the Jordan River and you will be clean. And so they changed his mind, the Bible says, and he went down, dipped himself seven times in the Jordan. And his flesh came again like unto the child, unto a little child, and he was clean. Naaman, what a man. His name in the ancient Syrian language means gracious, fair, and pleasant. That's what his name meant. And this particular man had distinguished himself above all of his countrymen. Number one, he was a supreme commander in the army of Syria. He was the army's highest ranking officer. He was a great man. He was a man of social standing. He was an honorable man. He had won many military victories. He was a mighty man of valor. He had a lot of money. But the Bible says, but he was a leper. And let me tell you today, very simply, at the outset of this message, there will come a time in your life when you will find out that stuff and position and wealth and popularity, there will come a time when all of those things will no longer satisfy you. You can have all the worldly acclaims. You can gather all the toys around you. You can have lots of stuff. And you will find that something is missing. Something is missing. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16, turn there in your Bibles. It will also be on the screen. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, and it says, "And Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." He had a lot of crops. "And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits." I've got so much stuff. Everybody say stuff. "And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater barns. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods." You see, he got so much stuff. He started having to tear down the little barns and build bigger barns. And sometimes we can be like that at home. Especially when you got kids, you got a little garden shed, and before you know it, you got to rip that little garden shed down and put a bigger garden shed and then move the car out of the garage so you can fit all your stuff in. And he said this, "I'm going to have to build some bigger barns. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have so many goods laid up for many years. Look at all the stuff I've got." Now, Jesus says, now the man is going to take ease. He's going to eat and drink and he's going to be merry because he's accumulated so much stuff. But God said unto him, "Thou fool, you're a fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee." This night, you're going to lose your life. Your soul is going to be required of thee. And what are you going to do with all your stuff? Who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Who's going to get all your stuff? It can't go in the grave with you. You might be happy to have accumulated all this stuff. And it says, verse 21 in the parable, Jesus says, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." You see, it is foolish to go through this life accumulating stuff, ambition, and trying to get everything we possibly can and not be rich towards God. We've got to be right in the eyes of God. We've got to have our life right with God. If you make it to the end of your life and you've got a semi-trailer full of stuff, you're driving along down the street, "Look at all my stuff." In fact, it's not just one semi-trailer. I got a few semi-trailers and back home I got lots of stuff. But if you're driving down the road of life and you get to the time when your soul is required of thee, your stuff doesn't count for anything unless you were right with God. Naaman came to that point. As he received the verdict that he was a leper. You see, leprosy wasn't curable then, Jeff. Leprosy was a disease that meant the end. It didn't just mean that you were sick, Brother Matthew, but it meant that everybody else was going to leave you alone because leprosy was something that nobody wanted to be near. From that day, if you had leprosy, it was a living death. You would walk down the streets and have to cry, "Unclean, unclean." Can you imagine the way Naaman felt? Next slide, Brother Morty. Tell you a story about Bill. There is one Bill here. Something was missing. And that's what Bill thought. It wasn't like there was anything wrong, but there was just something missing. Bill was able to take an early retirement. He had worked hard. He advanced rapidly. And in addition to all of this, Bill was a good investor. Even when people said he was foolish to take stock options, he just did the same thing day in, day out. And consequently, when he received the offer to retire early, he was able to take advantage of it. He was 55 years old. He was retired and he was financially secure. He had good health. He was able to enjoy himself. He was able to travel whenever he wanted and wherever he wanted. He even started a consulting business that kept him as busy as he wanted to be. And however, late at night when Bill would lay on his bed, he felt like something is missing. And Bill's problem is one that many of us have. We look at our lives and everything that we have accomplished and everything we have accumulated, and we come to the conclusion that this man Bill did. And he said, just, you know, I got a lot of stuff and I got a lot of things and I can do whatever I want, but something is missing. And that's what Jesus said. You've got to be rich towards God. If I am unable to stand before God as He desires, if I am unable to stand before God without sin in my life, if I am unable to stand before God without fault or blame, and if I'm unable to ultimately make it to heaven, what does all my stuff count for? I can imagine as Naaman went to Elisha, all these thoughts would have been going through his mind. I can't believe that it's come to this. I can't believe the news that I've heard. How does this happen to me? Luckily, there was a maid in his house that knew of his condition. She knew a prophet of God. And Elisha had a double portion of the prophet Elijah. And this maid said, you know what, Elisha, I know a man of God you can go to and he can help you. And listen, today we need to be thankful, eternally thankful for those who are in our life that brought us to Jesus. We need to be thankful for those that brought us to Jesus. We need to be thankful for those who took the time and went out of their comfort zone to come and to tell us about Jesus. I was lost. I couldn't find my way. I was trying to find life. I was trying to find the answer in everything else. But somebody came and told me about Jesus. And every time you get down to pray, it wouldn't harm for you to just say a prayer and say, I just thank you, Lord, for that person that came and told me about Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for that person who gave me that little flyer about International Sunday. And I came and I felt the presence of God. And I enjoyed the fellowship of the brethren. I thank God for the person who stepped out of their comfort zone and took their time to tell me about Jesus. Are you thankful today for that person? Hallelujah. Naaman had a problem, but he finds a solution thanks to somebody who took time enough to step out of their comfort zone. Naaman then goes down, as the lady had told him, with his entourage, down to see this man, Elisha. And he walks up to Elisha's place, and out comes the servant. And Naaman says, hey, I'm here to see the prophet Elisha. And the servant went and talked to Elisha. Elisha, there's somebody to see you, and they've got leprosy. They look like they're in a pretty desperate state, Elisha. I think you should come and see him. And Elisha says, no, servant, you go and talk to Naaman. I don't even need to deal with him. This is not a big deal at all. I just tell him that he needs to go down to the River Jordan, and he needs to dip 7 times, and he will be clean. He will be completely restored in his flesh. And the servant says, is that all? Is that everything you want me to say, Elisha? Elisha says, yes, just go and tell him to dip 7 times in the Jordan, and he will be clean, and his flesh will come back like the skin of a baby. So the servant goes out. He goes, hey, Naaman. And Naaman goes, where's Elisha? He goes, well, he's not coming, sorry, but he did give me a message for you. Go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Naaman would have been thinking, now, servant, did you tell Elisha who it was that came to see him? Did you tell him it was Naaman, the captain of the king of Syria? It was Naaman, the one who had won many victories for the nation of Syria. This is Naaman, one of the wealthiest guys getting around. You see, I pack a bit of a power punch around here. Maybe you ought to go and tell him to come and talk to me personally. No, sorry, Naaman. He gave you a simple message. He said, it's simple. I'm sorry it's so simple. But he said, just go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times and you will be clean and your flesh will come back to you like the flesh of a baby. And Naaman starts in his flesh from his carnal perspective. He says, now, I thought Elisha would do something more sensational than that. I thought Elisha would create some sort of spectacle. That he would come and he would wave his hands around and maybe even his cloak, and maybe he would come with some special, I don't know what it was, but he would come and do something great. I can't believe that he wants me to dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And in fact, I can think of much better rivers than the Jordan River. You see, the Jordan River is not very appealing. It's muddy water. It's muddy water. It doesn't make sense to me. It seems so simple. It's nothing special. That water, it's just muddy water. And someone said to you, go down and dip 7 times in Lake Burley Griffin. You could say, well, I could think a lot better rivers than Lake Burley Griffin. What about the Murrumbidgee? That might be better. Or the Threadbow. Or the Eucanbean. Something like that with fresh water. But Lake Burley Griffin, it just seems too common. It just seems so simple. Come on. And Naaman was angry. He said, I can think of 2 rivers just off the top of my head. Abana and Pharpar. They're rivers of Damascus and they're much better than the rivers of the Jordan. You see, the Jordan River, it's muddy water. When you step in there, you don't know what you're going to find. There's old cars or old chariots, probably old dead horses there, probably fish sucking on my feet. It's muddy. It's disgusting. I don't want it. Naaman was insulted. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we probably would be as well. We often, listen to me carefully, are insulted by the commands of God. Often God will require something of us that we, and who are we, that we don't actually agree with. I don't think God would require that of me. Does he actually know who I am? Does God know how many times I come to church? How long I've been attending church? Would God really require that of me? And we get insulted by God. Often God will lead us in a direction that we don't want to go. And why can't we do it another way? God, why are you leading him in this direction? It doesn't make sense. It just seems like muddy water. And we get offended with God. Leads us in a direction we don't want to go. We want to go somewhere else. And we say like Naaman, we say, but God, there has to be a better way to accomplish this. God, what you're telling me doesn't make sense. It should be something more dramatic or more sensational, something bigger, but you're so simple, God. Listen to Naaman. Naaman says, I expected. Why shouldn't I? And sometimes that can be our response when God just gives a simple word. When he gives us a simple word of direction, when he requires something of us that we don't quite agree with, it can seem so simple. And in our own mind, we calculate it with our own logic and our own intellect and our own flesh. And we come out and we say, but God, it's just muddy water. The truth is, yeah, Jordan was muddy water, but he was a leper. The truth is, the Jordan was muddy water, but he was a leper. And it is important that, and we kind of follow on from last week, it's important that we are truthful with ourselves. It is important that we are truthful about our condition. It is important that we are truthful about our spiritual condition. I mean, my response to Naaman would have been, hey, Naaman, what do you got to lose, mate? Yeah, it's muddy water. Yeah, the requirements of God may seem so simple, but remember, you're a leper. You know, you're unclean. The water, the muddy water of the Jordan may be unclean, but you're also unclean. You listen to me, Naaman, you got nothing to lose. We got to be truthful with ourselves. You see, Naaman had to take the truth spoken by the man of God. He had to take what God was asking him to do and apply it to the truth of his condition. And very often, as the word of God comes forth, it may seem like muddy water. Surely God wouldn't do it like that. Surely God wouldn't require that of me, and we reject it and we say it's muddy water. But unless we are truthful about our condition, we cannot apply the truth of God's word. We've got to take the truth of God's word and apply it to the truth of our spiritual condition. And there is power. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Everybody say truth. I was down at Chisholm Shops the other day, Thursday afternoon, and as I was walking after Lachlan plays indoor soccer down there at the Empower Dome, I was walking to go and buy them an ice cream. And as I was walking past, there's a Civic Video there, I heard a conversation of these two young guys. And obviously one of them was sick. And he said something like this. He says, I don't want to go to the doctor. If you go to the doctor and you actually find out what's wrong with you, then you actually feel even worse. I thought, that's a really strange conversation to be walking past and just hear. If I go to the doctor, when I actually find out what's wrong with me, I will feel even worse. And the other day I was listening to ABC Radio, and they're talking about men's health and how men don't like to go to the doctors. And so what the doctors have been doing is they've been going out to the building sites, and they've been coming in doing clinics for the men. So they can come in, they can get their blood pressure checked, and they can check the men out to make sure that they're healthy. And one of the doctors said, he said, you'd be surprised how many men know that there's something wrong with them, but they won't go to the doctor because they don't want to find out. I know something's wrong with me, but I don't want anyone to tell me. Us men, so logical, aren't we? I mean, what comfort that is. I know something's wrong with me, but don't tell me. Make it worse. And this is kind of what Naaman. Naaman had nothing to lose. He was sick with leprosy. He had nothing to lose. And so when Naaman heard the message, he had two choices. Everybody say two choices. He could ignore it and he could try to cope with his own leprosy, which he would eventually die. Or the second choice is he could obey the word of God and he could be cured. It is that simple. Everybody say simple. The truth was, he was a leper. There was no way to deal with leprosy in the ancient times. And the only way they could deal with it is just to separate those people that had leprosy from the general population. They were put outside the camp. Clinical leprosy these days is called Hansen's disease. And there is a solution for it. There is a remedy for it these days. There is a way to make you better. But back then, you couldn't. Leprosy was a disease that showed on the outside. But it was primarily an internal disease of the nerve endings. It was something on the inside that started to manifest on the outside. And as the disease progressed, more and more damage was done to the body by the sufferer themselves as their sense of pain became deadened more and more. And leprosy in the Bible is a type. Everybody say a type. It's symbolic, and through the Old Testament, you'll see a lot of types. Leprosy is a type of sin. There are many types in the Bible. The first Adam is a type of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. The offering of Abel was a type of the sacrifice of Christ. The translation of Enoch was a type of the translation of the believers. The Ark of Noah was a type of God's salvation. These are all types. They were symbolic. Melchizedek was a type of Christ as king and priest. The Passover feast was a type of the cross. And leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. Sin is to the spiritual what leprosy is to the physical. And the Bible teaches that sin is like leprosy. It's a disease that nobody can control. Sin like leprosy is contagious. Sin like leprosy is deceptive. Sin like leprosy is not inherited, but it's acquired. Sin like leprosy has a tendency to increase. Sin like leprosy is incurable except for the power of God. Leprosy is a type of sin. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us stand in need of salvation. All of us, from the day we are born, the Bible says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." We were born with a sinful nature. We didn't even have to be taught to sin. We just did it. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all stand in need of salvation. We all stand in need of a cure. We all stand in need here as lepers, as it were, as sinners. 2 Timothy 5:24 says, "Some men's sins are often beforehand, going before to judgment." 1 Timothy 5:24, sorry. "And some men, they follow after." Some sins are open. You can see them beforehand, going before to judgment. But some sins are hidden and they follow after. Naaman's carefree life, Naaman's life of wealth and riches was ruined by the reality that he was a leper. And maybe you're here today and you know that there's sin in your life. There is a way you can be made right with God. Doesn't matter if it's the first time in church or you're here after many, many years. If there is sin in your life, you got to do something about it. And maybe I'm like that servant that come as the man of God and say, "You know what? There is a solution. There is salvation. If you would repent, if you will be baptized in Jesus' name, if you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can be born again. You can be healed." And somebody says, "But Pastor, you don't understand how bad my sin is. You don't understand what I have done and the mistakes I've made. You see, what you're telling me is that if I repent of my sin, if I'm baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, that I can be made clean. It seems like muddy water. It seems too simple. It doesn't make sense. Surely God can do something else." But we have to be truthful. We have to be truthful and say, "God, I want to be truthful. I'm not living the life that you want me to live." And maybe it may not make sense. Maybe there are better rivers. Maybe the way that God is taking you may seem like muddy water. Maybe baptism, just going into the water and coming out of the water because of obedience to God. Maybe it doesn't seem like very much that you would be buried in the waters of baptism and your sins are washed away. It might seem like muddy water, but it will strip you of your sin. It will restore you as new. Your flesh will come back again like the flesh of a baby. And maybe you're like Naaman. Maybe you're at the top of your profession. You've got great wealth, social standing. You're a hero of your friends. You're admired by your associates. You're a good person, but you're a leper. Something's missing. And there was only one cure for leprosy, and that was a miracle. Naaman had to go outside of his country. Naaman had to leave the familiar, and he went to Elisha. And when Naaman finally got to Elisha's house, it was a mere servant. Everybody say a servant. It was a servant of the prophet that came to meet him. His message was simple. Just dip 7 times in the River Jordan. But it was also humbling. Naaman got angry. 2 Kings 5 verse 13. And his servants came near and spake to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean." It's not hard to obey God. No. But it is humbling. I really don't think that Naaman had much of a problem with the instructions. Yeah, it was muddy water. His main problem was his pride. His pride. You see, it wasn't hard to obey God's commandment, but it was humbling. And once Naaman heard the message, he had 2 choices. He could choose to obey it, or he could choose to ignore it. So my question to you today is, what is God speaking to you about? What has God been speaking to you about? What are the things that God has been speaking to you clearly about, and you know that you got to do it because you something is missing? You can't take that next step. You seem like there's a blockage, and God has been speaking to you very clearly, and you've just been saying, "It doesn't make sense, God. Surely there's another way. Surely there's a way that I can do what you're asking me to do without having to humble myself. Surely, God, there's a way that I could, you know, do what you're asking me to do without having to go into the muddy water. God, in this day of convenience, surely there's a more convenient way that I could do what you're asking me to do, God. Please find some other alternative." And God's been speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking. It's time to be truthful with ourselves. Something is missing. Something is missing. But unless we are truthful about that and we take the word of God and obey it, we will still be left short. The message of salvation is in Acts chapter 2. Turn there in your Bibles, Acts chapter 2. It's summarized there in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read in verse 37. The gospel was preached. Peter preached the first sermon. He preached the gospel. It was an absolute message of salvation. He preached about how to be saved. He preached the gospel, and people said that truthfully, they said, "What shall we do?" Verse 37, let's read it. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." And maybe this morning as you're sitting here, God has been pricking your heart and speaking to you. And you're saying, "You know what, this guy, I never met him before, that preacher guy up there. But, you know, he's kind of speaking something. There is something missing in my life. And I do feel like I need to be right with God. I'm feeling pricked in my heart." And they felt pricked in their heart as well. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Hey, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do? You know, I'm being truthful now. Something's missing. What shall I do?" And then Peter said unto them, "Repent. Turn from your sins. Turn around and start, instead of walking your own way, in the ways of the world, turn to Jesus. Turn around 180 degrees. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That's simple. Now, those that were standing there on that first sermon that Peter preached, they could have just been offended. They could have said, "Repent? You're telling me that I'm not a good person? And be baptized? I'm not getting baptized. I can think of much better ways to be saved than that." No, they had a choice. They could either obey God or they could just go along with what they thought was right. And like Naaman, we also may be insulted that God does not even acknowledge our personal goodness. I don't need to be baptized. I'm a good person. I don't need to repent. I'm a good person. I do a lot of good things. And Naaman was like that. Everything else in his life was wonderful. But it eventually came to nothing because he was afflicted with an incurable disease. And there was only one cure for leprosy, and it was a miracle. And there is only one cure for sin, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is applied to us when we are born again, when we repent of our sins, when we are baptized in the lovely name of Jesus, and when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the miracle is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. Who for? For me. Everybody say for me. He died, he was buried, and rose again. We must also die. Repent. We must also be buried in the waters of baptism, and we will be filled with the Holy Spirit, just as Peter preached. Something's missing. What must we do? What is the next step? Peter, something's missing. We use the term born again. How many people have heard the term born again? It's been around a lot of times. In fact, there was a time back in 60s and 70s when even those in Hollywood were getting born again. Everybody was getting born again. But there's only one way to be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's only one way to be born again. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. There's only one way to be born again. And if you would hearken to the voice of God, if you would listen to what God is saying to you today, maybe you've got to deal with the sin in your life. It will change your life. Remember, I talked at the beginning that God wants to change our life. God wants to impart something into our life. He wants to change us. And if you would obey God, it will change your life. Not just like turning over a new leaf. Now that's good to turn over a new leaf and start the new day different. Turn over a new leaf, but the Bible doesn't call it turning over a new leaf. It will impact your life in such a way. It will change you in such a way. It will not just be turning over a new leaf, but the Bible says it'll be like being born again. Old things, gone. New things, everything is made new. Everybody say born again. And that's what happened to Naaman. Naaman wrestled with it. He said, I don't know. Just seems like muddy water to me. Muddy water. Muddy, muddy water. If I get in that water, I don't know what I'm going to find. It's muddy water. I could think of better ways, God. I can think of better ways to obey what you're saying. There's other things, Lord, that I think you should ask me to do, but not the muddy water. 2 Kings 5:14 goes on to say, as we finish, then he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, just as the man of God had said, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Let's all stand in this place. Muddy water. What is God speaking to you about this morning? But I also know that God has been speaking to some for a long time. Week after week after week, come to the house of God, and God speaks. And you know God is speaking to you. Because it's not just in the church, it's outside of the church building in your prayer time as you drive, and God has been speaking to you, but like Naaman, you've become offended at what God asks. Let me tell you, you will be made clean. There will be new life if you be obedient to God. Let's just lift our hands as we receive this word right now. Lord Jesus, Lord, help us not to stumble at your sayings. Lord God, at what you require of us. Lord God, we want to be obedient to you, Lord God. Lord, that we would stop using the excuses of muddy water. But Lord, that we would be obedient to you And Lord God, through our obedience to you, Lord God, that you would restore us. Lord God, that Lord, for those that haven't been baptized and haven't repented of their sins and been filled with the Spirit, Lord God, Lord, that they would continue to pursue, Lord God, and answer the call, Lord God. And for those of us who are here, Lord, walking with you for many days, many years, many decades, Lord God. Lord Jesus, help us not to keep putting off what you're requiring of us. Just saying it's just like muddy water. But Lord, help us to be obedient. Lord Jesus, thank you for speaking today. Lord God, I pray for that person, Lord God, who's been thinking about baptism for a long time, Lord. They've made every excuse they could find not to be baptized. Lord, I pray for that person who is still holding on to some things, Lord, and hasn't repented of their sin, Lord God, not quite ready to turn it all over to you. Lord, I pray for them, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for that person seeking the infilling of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give them a fresh passion, a fresh desire to be filled with your Spirit, Lord God. Lord, help us, Lord, to no longer make the excuse of muddy water, but Lord God, to accept the gift of salvation, Lord God, the gift of abundant life through you. We pray this in your mighty and precious name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing this song. This altar is open. You want to come and pray? We got to stop making excuses, the excuse of muddy water, but just to be obedient to God.